Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can ever be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope, download the app from the Apple Store or Android Play Store, follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we'll continue our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322, or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. Glory be to God. Well, we want to continue today, and I believe we are still in John chapter 11, but I want to pray first, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you are the King, our salvation. The Word of God is your voice. As we break bread and eat the Word of life, we just want to thank you, Lord, for being here with us and help us through all of the things that we go through. Father, we thank you that you loved us first so we can love you, and that we love you and appreciate you, and we thank you today that the Word that we're going to go through today will be seed that's sown into good ground, and that it'll be receive a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And Lord, we just promise to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, last week we were talking about the death of Lazarus, and I believe we got down to verse 8, I believe. Let's see. We're going to start in verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12? Yeah, we did this. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, a friend of Lazarus is sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, and we may die with him. Glory be to God. So we see here a couple of different things. Number one, you know, Jesus is talking about the light that was on the inside of them. And we talked about that last week, that when you go back to John chapter 1, it says, "He in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was the light and the life unto men." So we know that that light is not daylight and night light. It's either good or evil. And so we have good on the inside of us, so we want to let the light of God shine through us into this deep, dark, and depressed world. When we do that, we literally bring life to everybody that we come in contact with, and that's exactly what they need. They need resuscitation, and that's what we're capable of doing. Hallelujah. All right, so we have Thomas here who is still a little bit confused, as were most of the disciples. They're on the way here to see Lazarus. Jesus decided to wait a couple of days before he went after he got the news, and so everybody's confused about exactly what's going on. In verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that they had already been in the tomb 4 days, and now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So now we're talking about the same Martha and Mary that we talked about before. Mary was the one that wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, and Martha was the one that was very troubled about all the logistics, if you will, of having a meal set for the Savior. Hallelujah. So talking about the same folks, and their brother died, Lazarus. And so in verse 20, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now Martha, she's a little bit confused too. She says to him, "Well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come and who has come into the world. Glory be to God." And so we can see here Mary is quite excited Martha is quite excited about what's going on. But again, she's still confused because she thinks that Jesus is not going to be coming until later. And so, glory be to God. It's really exciting that you know we find out that he's not dead. Number one, that he is going to live again. But the most important thing is Jesus says, "Look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you believe in me, even though you die, you're going to live for eternity." And that's what we want to make sure that we understand and that we know that God is still alive. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to verse 28. I'm sorry. Verse 28 says, "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She is going to the tomb to weep there.'" But things had a little way of changing around here. So in verse 32, we see he says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" And so, you know, we look at this from a natural perspective, and it's not surprising to know that this is an emotion that these folks are going to hold on to. We're not surprised at all, because that is a natural reaction to what's going on here. And verse 32 says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him," she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. "And Jesus turns around and saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, Lord, come and see. So Jesus wept, and then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened his eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? So they were questioning him as far as what was going on, but they still, again, they did not have a clue as to the nature of what he was doing there. And the fact that that's the shortest scripture in the Bible where it says Jesus wept, there's much controversy as to whether he was weeping over Lazarus, but I believe he was weeping over these people's lack of faith. They just didn't believe that he could do what he said he was going to do. And he told them, he said, look, he waited 2 days before he went to even see Lazarus, so that was, you know, would make him dead, at least dead and buried for a little while. And so then he came, and the whole reason he said was not to raise Lazarus from the dead. That was a byproduct, but it was to build his disciples' faith in the word and the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so glory be to God. We see here in verse 38, he says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, folks, that is a very, very important passage of Scripture right there. In order to see the glory of God, which is the presence of God, you have to believe. If you don't believe this Bible, if you don't believe this word, then what in the world are you going to church for? What in the world are you singing in the choir for? Why do you tithe and give offerings if you don't believe that you're going to be able to see the glory of God? Now, the glory of God, again, is the presence of God. And that's not, you know, you don't have to wait till you're dead to go see the glory of God, see the presence of God. You can see the presence of God now. And that's why we always talk about the fact that Matthew chapter 6 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that's now. We want to see the glory of God. We want to live in the glory of God. We want to be in the presence of God all the time. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, if you believe, then you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that just makes me excited. All right, and so we see here in, verse 41, he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound head and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Glory be to God. So now this was not just for the sake of raising Lazarus from the dead, but it was to prove a point not only to his family, but also to everybody who was there to see it. Again, it's more of God's testimony of what he's capable of doing and what his plan and purpose is on the face of this earth. And we play a great role in it. But remember, we have to believe if we're going to see the glory of God. Hallelujah. All right, verse 45. We're going to finish up chapter 11 today. Says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. So they saw it, and then they believed. But, you know, folks, we have to believe it if we're going to see it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs, and if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Hallelujah. So he was concerned about the Roman Empire. He was, the folks there were more concerned about that than they were about the salvation and their eternal life. And, you know, that's kind of interesting today, because the same thing happens when the pastor preaches a message that you may not necessarily like, or it doesn't agree with everything that you, know, that you think, then bam, you know, you want to ridicule, persecute, and start to condemn him for saying the word of God because he actually stepped on your toes. And what we need to do in that type of a situation is go to the word of God and find out exactly what the word says. If it lines up with the word, then we need to apply it to our life. If it doesn't, then we need to discard it. Hallelujah. But, you know, we shouldn't try to kill the messenger. You know, we and that's part of the problem with people who go to church and the only word they ever get is what the pastor says. They don't have a clue what the word says. They only know what the pastor says. Now, the pastors, I'm not picking on pastors. Glory be to God. I love them. But you know what? Your responsibility is to take care of your own salvation. The Bible says we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so if we're not willing to do that, then we're going to suffer the consequences of not being a student of the Word and being up to date with what's going on. We'll never know that the pastor is off base, that he's preaching to us a lie, or anything of that nature, and that's important for us to be sure that we have that right. In fact, I heard a man say one time that if you go to church to get fresh revelation, you better check and see if you're saved. And I'm telling you, I think that's absolutely true. All right, let's go to verse 49. He says, "And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to him, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish.' Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from them into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples." Now, verse 55 says, "And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?'" Themselves as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, he'll not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. So their job there, their responsibility was to try to catch him and kill him, because he was posing a significant threat to their administration and to their rule and reign. And they recognized that he was a uniter of people, that these people, these Christians and non-Jews and whatever, or even Jews, if they converted to Christianity, if they believed the gospel of Jesus, then they posed a significant threat. And that if the administration of Rome had found out about this, then they would have come and tried to destroy the regime instead of trying to destroy Jesus. So Satan turned it around, as he always does, and tried to work it out for his benefit. But if he had known what he was doing, he would have never hatched this plot, and he would have never followed through, because what he literally did was seal his own destiny. He sealed his fate. Of course, he actually did that back in Genesis chapter 3 when he attacked Eve. Because God told him, he says, look, he says, the seed of this woman will come and his head will bruise your heel, and your heel will bruise his head. So that was a prophetic word that Jesus was coming back. Well, Jesus is here. He's on the scene, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's healing, he's delivering, he's setting people free. He's raising people from the dead, healing all kinds of sickness and disease. And these Pharisees and Sadducees and the Jews just did not like it, because, number one, they didn't understand it, and it's human nature for us not to like what we don't understand, but then it's also we want to lash out and try to destroy those things that we don't understand because it benefits us in the long run. At least we think we do. But Jesus wasn't worried about that. He wasn't concerned about that at all. His primary responsibility was to do what his Father told him. He was there as a servant. And, folks, that's what we're to be. We're to be servants to the one and only true and living God. We're to seek his face every single day and find out what it is he would like for us to do. And then we are to set about doing it. And the more that we do that, the happier that we'll be. Now, tribulations are going to come because the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. And he also says in this world you'll have tribulations, but we fear not the world, for he's overcome the world and put all things under his feet. So we already are victorious. We've already got the victory, but we are going to go through some turmoil and trials as we walk down this this path, if you will, on our progressive walk as a takeoff on our newsletter. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today to be diligent, to be faithful in the Lord, to do the things that he's called you to do, to pray. And again, I'm not telling you not to go to church. I'm telling you need to find a church where the pastor preaches the truth, where the Holy Spirit has free reign to work. And if you'd like to join a good church or come visit a good church in the Ashland, Virginia area, come see us at Breakout Ministries International. We're meeting at the hotel there on the right. It used to be a Comfort Inn. And I think it's Ashland Suites and Inn, or Inn and Suites or something like that right now. On the right-hand side of the street, diagonally across from Chick-fil-A, come and visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30. We worship from 10:30 to 12, and it's absolutely a wonderful time in the Lord. The Holy Ghost is free to do what he wants to do, and we just obey the Spirit of the one and only true and living God. So we encourage you about that. Now, let me tell you some upcoming things that are happening for DMC Ministries. We're beginning to work on our trip to Africa for next year. We're looking at going in April. So if you're interested in that, you can send us an email at dmc@dmcministries.net. We've also had an invitation to go to Pakistan, but we're working out all the logistics on that. I never realized how much it takes to put one of these trips together until I started doing it myself. It's quite a laborsome experience, but the benefit is just so unreal. It's absolutely amazing. So we may be looking at going to Pakistan and doing something there next year as well. We're going to be in Orlando, Florida in September. Apostle Marie Epps is having her elevation and consecration service. So we're going to be down there. I think it's the 17th or 18th and 19th of September. And then we're also going to be doing an event with the Christian Authors on Tour the weekend before that up in Maryland. So we've got a lot of things cooking, and we want you to be part of that. If you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, just send us an email at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also go out to our website at www.dmcministries.net and click on the Progressive Walk icon, and you can download and read every single edition for the last, well, in 2014 and 15 are up there. So praise God. We hope you enjoy that. We've had a lot of good comments on the Progressive Walk. We've had a lot of people that read it on a regular basis, and they find it to be a source of encouragement, source of education, and we love being able to serve the Lord in that way. Upcoming, my new book is out called DWJD, Do What Jesus Did. If you want to really learn how to live this Christian life, then I suggest that you get that book. It's $10. Go to our website at www.dmcministries.net. Click on the online store, and you can make a purchase there through PayPal, and we'll ship that book out to you right away. We also have some other CDs and DVDs that are out there if you'd like, and we want to make those available to you, and we're going to also be adding some more this week. Because it's important for us to stay up to date with what's going on in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so we thank you today for again, being a part of our What Does the Word Say family. Pastor Godfrey Kasiri should be back next week. We're looking forward to that. Now, they're meeting on Hull Street, God's Kingdom Gatherers, Hull Street at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 to 5, and it's right there just this side of what is that, Broad Rock Boulevard, I believe it is. I'll get the address for you. And you can also go out and check our other broadcast. Yeah, address is on there. But we invite you to go and fellowship with him, mighty man of God, great teacher of the Word of God, and we certainly are appreciative to him for everything he does. All right, well, that's going to be it for today. We encourage you to join us next week on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And we'll start off in John chapter 12. Glory be to God. We thank you again for being a participant in this effort. We're also looking for sponsors that would like to sponsor this radio show to an hour. So that's something you can consider. Give us a call. Until we see you again, be blessed and let this be.